Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I can't wait to declare the word of the Lord today. I believe he's going to speak to us in a profound, relevant way. Before we hop into the word of the Lord, I just want to let you know that we're going to continue to support our community and continue to be a help in a time of need. So in the month of August, be on the lookout for our next Pop the Trunk Drive Up Food Giveaway, where we will not only have fresh produce, but also some essential items to help you in your time of need. And this will not be the last time that you see us helping, because we want to continue to do the work of the ministry and continue to do the work of the Lord. And so as we continue to try and make sure that we are blessing to you, please follow us on social media at the Kingdom Life Church. You can follow me at Pastor Michael Phillips on Facebook and on Instagram, and certainly you can stay informed. If you haven't done so already, go to our Kingdom Life Church Facebook page and join the Life Resources group. In that group, there is a bevy of resources for you and your family, everything from job opportunities to rental assistance, all sorts of organizations that we've been able to partner with and get information from, to put them in one place so it can kind of be a clearinghouse for you for all the things that you might need during this unprecedented time in our lives. So make sure that you go and do that. That's Kingdom Life Church. Join our Facebook, go to our Facebook page, join the Life Resources group at the Kingdom Life Church. We want to make sure that your life is full of resources. Let's go to the word of the Lord today. I'm going to take two passages of scripture from the book of Exodus, and I want us to drill down here. And it is my intention for our conversation today, for our topic of discussion today, to take these two scriptures and to show you where we are in a relevant way in our society based upon this sacred text. And so, if you will, drill down with me on Exodus, the fourth chapter. I want to pick it up in verse 29, and then we're going to skip over to Exodus, the 15th chapter, and we're going to read the first few verses there in Exodus 15. The Bible says in Exodus, the fourth chapter, that Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. And the Bible says, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, and had seen their misery, the Bible says they bowed down and they worshiped. If you would, go with me to Exodus, the 15th chapter. We're going to read the first three verses of Exodus, the 15th chapter. And the Bible says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider, He has thrown into the sea. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God. I will exalt him. Verse 3 declares, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. For the next few moments we have together, I want to talk with you about preparing for Exodus. Exodus, the coming out of and the going into, requires preparation. Crossing over requires preparation. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you about preparing for Exodus. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to receive a word from you. We need to hear a word from you. Father, without it, we can't live. We can't function. We will drift aimlessly if there is no prophetic unction. We will cast off all restraint and we will run wild. So we need a word that will direct our steps, our path, make clear through the word of God. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, speak a word today that will bring clarity, that will bring direction, that will bring correction. Speak a word today that touches the very fiber of our being so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that the outcome will be that we're conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for such a word. Let our hearts be open to receive it. Let our ears be anointed to hear it. And regardless of any of our circumstances or our calamities, we know that when the word shows up, when the word comes, Father, it is quickening, it is powerful. It can do the job, it can get it done. It can resuscitate us. Let this word resuscitate our spirits and our souls. We thank you for what you're going to do in advance. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you're gathered wherever you are, go ahead and say amen. The scripture that I've taken is full, rich, full of history. It is full of the history of the people of God. And I've paired two scriptures for us today. I paired sort of the beginning and the end somewhat. And the reason I've done that is so that I can help you today, as well as myself, get our perspectives together. What I'm talking about today, more than anything, I am talking about perspectives. The way that we're able to see things, the way that we're able to understand it, the way that we're able to articulate it, the way that we are able to imagine it, the way that we are able to speak over it, all is related to what our perspective is. And it is in this particular text that we learn the perspective right off the bat of God's people. Their perspective was one of disillusionment. Their perspective was one of disenfranchisement. Their perspective was one of disorganized faith because of their displacement. These people have been displaced. They have been put in a situation that is trying, much like where we are today. Many people are asking the question, how in the world did we get here? How in the world do we find ourselves grappling and fighting with the idea of democracy? Because there are powers and forces that are trying to strip democracy away from our culture and trying to place within it an authoritarian type of mindset that doesn't allow people to truly be free, while using the mask and the terminology of patriotism and freedom to take away the very things we hold dear and true as a people and as a society. How did we get here to a place where we have to argue about taking care of one another and who needs to be taken care of and who doesn't deserve to be taken care of, when our Constitution says all men are created equal? The problem is that the perspective of the individuals who made those words, all men are created equal, seemingly did not include all men. And when you don't include all men in your perspective, then you will create laws and you will create systems that will create barriers and obstacles for people that you don't see as all men. In reality, we are all created equal. That is real. God formed us out of the dust of the ground and breathed into us the breath of life. And so we all come from one place. That place is called Adam. And so we can all be redeemed in one place. The second Adam, named Jesus Christ, who had to come to redeem all of mankind. And he did so regardless of creed, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, and regardless of gender. He died for us all. I'm likened to go back to the history and the very foundation of our faith, which is Jesus being crucified on a cross. And him being crucified on a cross between two thieves, to me, is very prominent. The reason it's prominent is because it helps my perspective that whenever I get so far away from the very foundation of my faith, I can look back to Calvary's Hill to understand that Jesus died and was crucified between two thieves. I believe that the lesson taught to us there is that Jesus died between two thieves to show us that Christianity is never synonymous with crime and punishment, but it is identical to grace and mercy. And the reason it is identical to grace and mercy is because he died between two thieves. There are thieves that are trying to steal and rob us of life and of dignity and of understanding. And Jesus stood between the two, holding the tension of truth because he was able to die for them both. Now, only one perspective was able to receive the promise, and one perspective was able to deny it. But the fact that he died for them both is very powerful. The reason that one perspective had to deny it is because that perspective, the way the one thief saw it, was that he could not get over what he had done. He could not deal with his past. And the past that you cannot deal with is the past that you are choosing to live in. Rehearsing the same drama over and over again, and then are shocked that you are having a repeat performance. He was not able to deal with his past, and therefore he could not see his future. The other perspective was so concerned about their future, but they were able to let go of their past that they could meet God right there in the now. And the perspective of God is never in the past nor in the future, but always in the now. And the reason the perspective of God is in the now is because now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You have to learn how to meet God in the now, right in the middle of the situation, right in the middle of the circumstance, right in the middle of the global pandemic that everybody wants to be over, right in the middle of the hardships in our democracy, right in the middle of the inequities and the injustices that we see in our society for far too long, right in the middle of the chaos politically and socially and economically and spiritually, right in the middle, because that's where God is. And for every person trying to figure out, God, where are you? He's saying, I'm right in the middle, right where it's messy, right where it's broken, right where it's hurtful, right where it's painful. I'm right there. I've never left. I'm still holding the tension of truth. The question is, can you meet me there? Because if you can meet me in the now, then you can hold the tension between history and destiny. Because if you can't, then you will be on one side of the spectrum. And on one side of the spectrum, whether it is destiny or history, you will never, ever be able to understand either on the opposite of extremes. So you have to come to that center point where Jesus is, where God is, in the middle of the struggle. And it is here that history is trying to teach us a lesson. The reason that history is trying to teach us a lesson is because that's what history always does. It always tries to show us our failures and our mistakes and our shortcomings so that we do not repeat them. And the problem is that if you cannot remember the past, then you are condemned, as one author says, to repeat it. It's not that you can't get over it, it's that you don't even remember it. There's a difference between getting over your past and remembering your past. The reason I have to remember my past and not just get over it is because it is a landmark to where I'm not going no more. And every time I venture back in my mind and in my habits and in my associations to something that I know I don't want, I need to be reminded of what it used to look like so that I never go back there again. Our country right now is faced with this very decision. And for everyone panicking, trying to figure out, God, what is going on? And is this the end? I came to tell you the end is not yet. We have been here before. If history has ever taught us anything, is that we have seen these type of things before. We've seen global pandemics before. It's just you weren't born yet. We've seen political unrest. It's just that you weren't here yet. We've seen social injustices all throughout our history. Our history is built as a nation. It is built on the very fact that people were done wrong, who had the fortitude and who had the dignity of their humanity to say, I shall not be moved. I'm going to stand here and declare that I am created just as equal as you are. This is why we are these United States of America. This is why we are so strong. This is why we are so free, because we're able to shout till we can't shout no more and let somebody on the other side of what we think and believe shout until they can't shout no more, until we come to a resolution. That's the way our country has been made. But when we stop shouting about it and when we stop talking about it, we forget our history. And when we forget our history, we find ourselves on the wrong side of it. The wrong side of history is the history you cannot remember. The wrong side of history is the history that you try to elude, therefore it cannot inform you in your now. And whenever somebody comes up to remind you of the history, you'll gaslight what they're saying so that you can avoid the reality of what is going on in this particular situation. Case in point, to allow, my God, federal officers who show up into cities who do not have the markings and the bearing of identity so that nobody knows who they are and therefore cannot be held accountable for their actions, historically links us more to Nazi Germany than it does to the United States of America. And if we don't remember that type of history, I came to tell somebody, you cannot stand up shouting, give me liberty or give me death, when you can't hear the voice of a protester who is created as equal as you are, shouting the same thing. When we all have to write the protests under the First Amendment of our Constitution. When we don't know our history, we are condemned to repeat the past. And so what we're seeing today is a playbook that's already been implemented. Our job and our priority is to have the right perspective when that playbook is tried to be enforced in our life to say the devil is a liar. It's a liar because I've been through that. My ancestors been through that. My grandmama and them been through that. I got so many people in my bloodline that have been through hardships. It's the reason why I'm here. And since I am my ancestors' greatest dream, I'd be dagged on if I'm going to allow anybody to drag me back 50 years and 60 years and 100 years and 80 years into a history that they fought to get me out of. Because I got a destiny. And it is incumbent upon me to make sure that I am responsible for the next generation coming up behind me, that they don't have to live through what I had to live through. This is the responsibility of us all. The history that you cannot remember, the past that you cannot remember, is the past that you are condemned to repeat. To seize the future like the man on the opposite end of the spectrum did when he was concerned about his. He told Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I don't have to remember you. today you shall be with me in paradise. So he pulled the man out of his future into his now based upon his decision to see Jesus for who he was. And when you can see God for who he is, it'll pull you out of your skewed perspective into the now moment of reality so that you can face whatever it is you got to face and go through whatever it is you got to go through. This is why I love the Bible when it says the sons of Issachar discern the times. And if we're ever going to prepare for Exodus, we got to discern the times. We got to know what's going on. We have to know what we are required to do. When the Bible says that the sons of Issachar discerned the time, what it was saying was they knew what they ought to be doing in that moment. And we got to know what we ought to be doing in that moment. We have to search the meta narrative of Scripture. We have to look through the whole history of the whole thing so that we can have a better understanding of the whole story. The meta narrative of Scripture is the overarching story represented in hundreds of smaller storylines. That means your story is connected to my story, and my story is connected to your story, and what you went through informs what I'm going through. This is why we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And if we don't tell our stories because we don't have the right perspective, or if we tell it from the wrong perspective, then somebody is not going to know our history. And if they don't know our history, how can it inform their destiny? And so what I just told you is simply this: the link between history and destiny is your story. And your ability to tell your story will determine the ability of your destiny coming to fruition. But if your story is only based on your history, then that will also inform whatever your destiny is going to look like. If your story is only based on your destiny without having the foundation of your history, then it is going to be a story that is not real. So I need to know the full story so that I can have within me the proper perspective to deal with what I got to deal with, which prepares me for Exodus. See, knowing the full story gets me ready to come up out of this chapter. Knowing the full story puts my heart and my mind in the condition that is necessary to do whatever it is I got to do to come out of this chapter. And I came to tell somebody prophetically today, you are about to come out of a chapter of life you thought you were stuck in. And the page, my God, I can feel it in the spirit, is about to turn in your life. You got to understand that when the page turns, the story is not over. When the chapter ends, the story is not over, because you have the power to determine how your story ends. God is the author and finisher of your faith, but you are the narrator of your story. How you tell it and who you tell it to matters, because it will determine how it's written, how it's read, how it is perceived. In the book of Exodus, oh God, we are learning that the perspective of the people is skewed. Exodus 4 tells us that the people felt disenfranchised and disillusioned because of their displacement. They are shocked when Moses gets there and Aaron gets there. They are shocked when they show up to talk to them about what God has been thinking about them. They are shocked to discover that God is concerned about their issues. The Bible says that when they heard that the Lord was concerned about their suffering, they went, "Oh, really?" Emphasis added. When we read that text, they weren't like, "Oh, I know he was." They were like, "Really?" And when they heard that he was concerned about their suffering, the Bible says they bowed and they worshiped. You see, perspective is everything. It is everything for you to understand your history. If I could fast forward for a second before I jump into where we want to go, because I'm just dealing with perspective right now, you have to begin to understand that the Apostle Paul made it very clear that no one is immune to deception. And so the reason why he made it clear that no one, if you will, was immune to deception is because all throughout our church history, there were problems and pitfalls in current reality. But people often fail to see the great potential and the possibility that always stand alongside of the problems of our current reality. And so to identify the potential in the midst of our problems requires a keen eye, a fresh perspective, someone who's able to discern the times and who is willing to examine ourselves and our weaknesses to get down to the root causes of why we feel the way we feel, do the things we do, and think the way we think. And so Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable act of worship, that you not be conformed to the image of this world. Don't be tricked. Don't be cajoled. Don't be deceived. Why did he say that? Because he's trying to inform us that we are not immune to deception. You can deceive your own self based on how you view your story. You can lie to yourself in the middle of your reality. You can say it's their fault and they did it. Blame will never produce healing. You can do all of those things and not see the power and the possibility within the reality of your pitfalls and your problems. Until problems and pitfalls can be detected and defined, you can't lay the axe to the root. So you'll keep producing the same thing that all comes from your perspective. When you have seasons that are protracted, that are long seasons that you have to endure, that make you feel displaced. How did I end up here? How did I get here? That's a question that every person on the face of the planet is asking right now. How did we get here? We're asking it politically. We're asking it economically. We're asking it socially. And we are certainly asking it spiritually. How did we get here? How in the world did we show up? And what this global pandemic is teaching us is that, number one, we should have been a lot more prepared than what we were. And number two, we should have cared a whole lot more. And if we cared a whole lot more, then just maybe we would have been a little bit more prepared. The reason we're not prepared is because we don't care. See, when we lay the axe to the root, we got to come to the very head of it. I don't care. And because I don't care, I'm not doing anything to prepare for where I could be headed. If we would have cared a little bit more, my God, we wouldn't need all of these entitlement programs and social programs that we have to fight for, because we would make health care, my God, an actual right for people instead of having to get it through our insurers. It will become a thing that is innate to our culture, because to be healthy is tied to and connected to the very idea of liberty. Just maybe if we would have cared a little bit more, we wouldn't have to argue about funding and resources to open our schools back up that are going to need the funding and the resources to do it. Because we didn't care, their normal didn't have the proper funding anyway. And so now we're trying to get funding on top of funding that they didn't have and force schools to open up and put children and teachers and all types of people at risk because we don't care. We don't care who lives or dies, because we can see the numbers going out of control and we still don't want to put on the mask. But you could put on one to play paintball. You can put on one to go ride your bike, but you can't put on a mask to save a life, because we don't care. The pandemic is showing us that we should have cared more about one another. And I think God is trying to show us, do you even care about each other? Because if you don't, then you miss the point. You miss that your history and your destiny is linked within your stories collectively. You miss that I created you for one another. When God saw it wasn't man good for man to be alone, it was an observation. He wasn't trying to solve the problem of marriage. He was trying to solve the problem of companionship. Marriage didn't come into play till a few verses down when Adam chose Eve as his wife. I got news for you, ladies. Eve wasn't made just to be Adam's wife. He gave them dominion. You got your own story to tell. It ain't got to be through his. We were made for one another. Created for one another, built for one another. And this is why you need a wide range of perspective. So we're black and we're white and we're brown and we're yellow and we speak Italian and we speak French and we speak Spanish and all types of different dialects. I can't go into the African ones. There's 54 countries in Africa. I don't want to do that to myself. But we're diverse as a people because God made us that way. To show us that our history and our destiny is linked within our stories and what we tell ourselves about ourselves. And until we can do that, we can't have breakthrough moments that are Exodus events. See, breakthrough moments require perspective. They don't just require prayer. They require perspective. Prayer does not always equate to breakthrough. Prayer equates to the right perspective, which then leads you to the breakthrough. Oh God, I'm getting the deep waters down. So you can pray about it all you want to, but if your perspective is wrong, what you're going to do in your prayer is wait on God for too long and not take any action that you are responsible for. And then when the outcome is not what you want, then your perspective that God didn't do it, oh, he doesn't want you to have it, will show up in everything that you do and you become disillusioned. You start seeing things that are not true. You start imagining vain things. Oh, glory to God. You become incapable of capturing those thoughts that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you can't cast it down. And so you never cut down that tree, that supply line that nourishes your disappointing fruits. You have to learn how to prepare and position yourself so that you can fight off and ward off the old way of doing and being. And embrace the unfamiliar moments and territories that God will place you in. Because the God of all Exodus events is faithful. See, this is where we have to draw the line. It was A.W. Tozer. I say this a lot, but I love this quote, that the way I view God is the solution to 10,000 problems. My perspective of who he is and what he can do in my life is my solution to a whole bunch of things because I know him and I know who he is. And so when we enter into the text of Exodus, we can see that the people are not prepared for Exodus. They don't know they're in Exodus. This is a play on words. The people in the Bible don't know they're in the Bible. And so as we're reading their story, we're reading it with the hindsight and the understanding of the story that's told to us. But while they're in it, they don't know they're in it. They don't know they're in Exodus. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You're going to pick it up in just a second. You can be in your Exodus and not know that you're in the middle of coming out because of the reality that you're facing at the moment. But I came to remind somebody, when they come to tell your story, you're going to look back over your life and say, I was already in Exodus when I was in it. Oh God, I feel like talking to somebody. While I was in debt, while I was in poverty, while I was in pain, God already saw me in my Exodus. He already saw me out. The question is, can you see yourself out? So when Moses and Aaron shows up to the people are shocked that God is concerned about their suffering. They're shocked because they thought God forgot about them. God has not forgotten about you. It's just that your perspective has got to be changed. Pastor, how do I change my perspective? Jeremiah comes along similarly during a time where God's people once again is in exile. Same situation, just different location and different players, but same story. They're in exile. And while they're in exile, Jeremiah has to come to them in the 29th chapter and tells them and remind them God knows the plans that he has toward them. Plans to prosper them, plans to give them a hope and a future, that God knows the plans. The reason why God had to send Jeremiah to remind them was because there were other prophetic voices telling them that things were going to change, that they were going to come out. And Jeremiah had to remind them, no, it's not going to change. This is the reality. This is where we are. This is how things are. I keep waiting personally. I keep waiting for that moment when they said, okay, it's all right for everybody to go back together. And we all gathered back together again. And all of the Christian faith and all of those people that vacated churches are coming back and droves are coming back because they're grateful and thankful to God. And we have this big celebration, but it don't come. It's not here. And it ain't coming. And while we're hoping for it, it ain't showing up. And more you begin to tell yourself that God's forgotten about me, the more disillusioned you become. The more despondent, the more desperate. You start looking for other ways. And you start taking matters into your own hands. But Jeremiah said, I know the plans. I'm so thankful that the Bible is clear because he didn't say, I know the plan. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can I preach to you? Because when God starts preparing you for Exodus, he has to show you, I got multiple ways out. I know the plans. I got many alternative futures that can happen based on how you decide where you seek to move, where you decide to go. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. They ain't got to be some sequential steps for them to be ordered steps. They ain't got to be step by step for God to be in it. They can be missteps and backsteps and sidesteps, but God is still all in it. I got alternative futures for you. I got plans. I don't have a plan. I got plans. So stop walking around saying, what is God's plan for my life? He ain't got one, but he got plans. He got multiple plans. He is a God of wisdom, manifold wisdom. There are many ways God can do a thing in your life. Stop looking for it to come one way. Because yeah, he'll make a way out of no way, but he'll make the way what you're going through right now, and he'll put you in it, right in the middle of it, and that'll be the way out. God can do it multiple ways. And it's all based on what you decide. I know the plans I have toward you, saith the Lord. And in all my plans, you prosper. And in all my plans, you have shalom. You have peace. In all my plans, you have a hope and you have a future. In all my plans. In every way I want to do it. And so as you begin to understand that, it changes your perspective. And when your perspective changes, your language changes. You stop saying things like, I'm a slave here, and you start saying, I've been sent here. Oh, here we go. When the people of Israel saw that God was concerned about them, the Bible says they bowed down and they worshiped. Their whole perspective began to change because they began to understand their history. And in understanding their history, they realize that God was here before I even got here. When you understand that God was there before you got there, you'll stop looking at your situation as something that cannot be sustained, and you'll start looking at your situation not as a circumstance, but as an assignment. This is my assignment for the moment, but this moment is not going to be forever. Something is going to come out of this that is going to alter the destiny of future generations based on my history. So I'm going to go through whatever it is I got to go through so that somebody down the road can be blessed that I don't even know. God, I'm not a slave here. I have been sit here. I'm not stuck. I'm stopped. It's a whole different perspective. And the children of Israel is finding out that their history, my God, is linked to their destiny, because they begin to realize that God was already here before he even called Moses, my God, from the burning bush, before Moses ever even had an encounter with him in the desert, before he ever tried to take matters into his own hands, because that's what happens when you have the wrong perspective. Moses killed an Egyptian because he saw the plight of his people and he took matters into his own hands. Having self-fertility, my God, having self-effort to try to do it yourself is not the way to get the right perspective. But having a futility of self, knowing that there's some fragility in there, knowing that there's some stuff that you got to work on, is the proper way of getting the right perspective, of realizing you ain't got it all together, and that's all right, and God is still going to meet you and still going to show up and still going to use you despite the fact you ain't got it all together. And Moses is learning this hard lesson. But before Moses, before God even picks him, he picks Abraham. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord, Lord, I feel like preaching. And before he picks Abraham, he takes what Adam does, and he takes what Cain tried to do, and he gives Eve another son called Seth. And out of Seth comes Abraham. And out of Abraham comes Isaac. And out of Isaac comes Jacob. And out of Jacob comes the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of the 12 tribes, my God, comes Joseph, who finds himself displaced in a place he never thought he would be, because this is the roadmap of God to take you out of place so that you can have the right perspective. God took us all out of place, out of our normal, so that we can learn how to have the right perspective. And when God took and shook all of these people and took them out of place, he was doing it on purpose. And the reason he was doing it on purpose is because he knew if they can see that they were sent there, my God, and they were not stuck there, that they would realize God is always in harmony with his covenant. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll be with you to the very end. And so before Moses, there was Abraham. And you remember the story, the history that God told Abraham. This dark cloud came over him in the vision. And he said, your people are going to be in bondage for X number of years. He told them how long it was going to be and what was going to happen. Abraham was told that your people are going to be spread out like this. And I believe throughout the generations that as he was trying to pass that version of the story along, that generations down the road stop telling the story. They stop saying that there's going to come a time where we're going to be displaced as a people, but God is not going to forget about us. And now we're stepping into their history, but also we're stepping into their destiny. And the very fact that God told Abraham that this was going to happen, but it wasn't going to end that way, is something for us to grab onto to. You got to grab onto what God said if you're going to have the right perspective. And you got to hold on to it if it takes generations. And you got to tell your children and your children's children, no matter what it looks like, God said prepare for Exodus, because it's not going to end this way. I don't care if you're at your coffee table. I don't care if you're at your kitchen table. I don't care if you're still in bed. You ought to sit up and shout, it is not going to end this way. I don't care if you were just furloughed. I don't care if they told you they're laying off. You ought to shout, it's not going to end this way, because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. God said, I know the plans that I have toward you, plans to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. God said, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God said it. And because he said it, I know he's going to do it. I have to have that right perspective. And so I have to use my pain. That's right. To elevate my perspective. And the way I use my pain to elevate my perspective is I remind myself about what God said. Right while I'm in the middle of it all, trying to hold the tension of truth, I don't need to alleviate the tension. I just need to hold on to what God said. And use that tension to hold up the weight of the situation and the circumstance that should have collapsed on me a long time ago. The fact that I can go through the whip and the lash, the fact that I can go through this mud dance, the fact that I can deal with all this pain, the fact that they told me that I wasn't going to make it, yet I'm still here, ought to be a prophetic indicator that it's not going to end this way. So what I have to do is now take my pain and start prophesying the promises of God right in the middle of my pain. Because if I don't, the only thing I'm going to prophesy is my past. I'm going to keep talking about what happened and who did what. And that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. The longer you talk about who did what to you and what went wrong and how it went bad, and it's been 10 years and it's been 15 years. Yes, it happened. I'm not saying don't acknowledge that it happened. Do so. You have to. It's a part of your healing and a part of your freedom. But when are you going to tell the other side of the story? The other side of the story is they tried to break me, and it looked like it was working for a little while, but their breaking led to my breakthrough. The other side of the story is that, yeah, I was laid off. And unlike some people who are insensitive to understand how that feels, I couldn't just go find something else. I had to figure it out. I had to sit back and think about it. I had to sit back and ponder it. I had to look at myself and say, what are you made of? And what I discovered out of being laid off is that I'm resilient. What I discovered is that I can figure out another skill. I can adapt. What I discovered is that I got some resolve. What I discovered is there's something on the inside of me when I felt like I wanted to give up, but it was like fire shut up in my bones, and it was what God told me about my life. So I started to look at different ways of doing things, and I birthed a business out of it. I found a new trade. I found a new skill. Maybe I had to move, but I did what I had to do, because my story doesn't end like this. And when you begin to tell the other side of the story, you can get to the other side of the circumstance, which is where we are in Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, there's a song that Moses and the children of Israel begin to sing. I think it's important to understand that it's not just the children of Israel, but it's Moses too. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses was like a prophet, like unto another. In other words, Moses was the prototype of what was to come. His story is a link in prophetic destiny. He is a shadow and type, if you will, of Christ, much like Elijah and Elisha. Similar to John the Baptist, forerunners of what is to come, shadows and types of what God promised. And Moses being a deliverer to his people is similar to Jesus being our great deliverer. And it is Moses and the people singing at the same time, because now they're on the other side of the calamity. God has brought them out, but they still have to prepare for Exodus, because they're not all the way out. They're just out of Egypt, but they're not into what God promised. See, preparing for Exodus is to understand that just because the circumstance has ended doesn't mean you have arrived. It simply means there's still some preparation for me, because there's something that God promised that I haven't stepped into yet. And if my perspective is going to stay fresh, I have to continue to prophesy what he promised. And while I'm prophesying what he promised, I have to learn how to praise him on the other side. Because it is the praise on the other side of my circumstance that is going to help me enter in and possess what God said I'm supposed to possess. If we were in collective church right now and everybody was in this room, I would tell you to slap your neighbor high five. But post-COVID-19, give somebody an air high five wherever you are and say, there's a praise on the other side of my circumstance. And when I begin to sing this song, it's not going to be the old sad song. It's going to be about the goodness of what God has already done in my life. And when you have the time, go back and read Exodus 15 all the way in its entirety, because it's not just about what he did, it's also about what he is about to do. Because embedded in your praise, there must be a little bit of prophetic imagination about what God is about to do in my life. So I'm going to praise him for what he has done, and I'm going to praise him for what he is doing. But then, baby, I'm going to throw my head back and shout hallelujah and give him praise for what he is about to do in my life. I dare you, take 10 seconds in your living room right now and put your hands together and throw your hands up and put your head back and say, God, I give you a shout of praise for the next 10 seconds about what you are about to do in my life, because that's how I'm going to keep a fresh perspective. I have to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise is continually in my mouth. I have to learn that when I'm in the middle of a hard story, that it's just a few chapters, it's not the whole book. I have to learn not to be shocked when I find out that God never took his eye off of me. I have to learn that he's always cared about my plight. He's always been there. But I have to learn the history that his presence predates my pain. That he was there before I ever got there. And while I'm in it, I have to see what he's doing. And I have to admit, it's hard sometimes to see what God's doing. So I can only prophesy in part. So here's my next little point. Prophesy your part. You ain't got to know the whole story. God ain't always going to tell you everything. But baby, you got to prophesy your part. The part I know, I'm going to preach. The part I know, I'm going to declare. The part I know, I'm going to praise about. And the part I don't know, I'm going to imagine something good. I'm going to imagine something powerful. I'm going to imagine God didn't bring me this far to leave me like this. I'm going to imagine that he's a good, good father. the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm going to imagine that God is a man that's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it is so. I'm going to imagine, regardless of how long it takes, that the anointing, that the promises of God on my life don't just die with me. And if I don't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, which I'm declared to do so, but if it doesn't happen for me, it's going to happen for my kids, and it's going to happen for my kids' kids, because my God is a generational God, but his promises are yes, and they are amen. And that's the part I'm going to prophesy. I will not prophesy my pain. I will prophesy my part. And in prophesying my part, my perspective will stay fresh. I might not be able to see the whole picture. And I might have to see it in pieces. But I know God has plans. And perhaps, just maybe, that's why he gives it to us in pieces. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm closing. I'm done. But think about it. Maybe he gives it to us in pieces because our will is involved. And just maybe, if we would find the will to allow some of the edges of the pictures that we see to touch our story, maybe he can put it all together. But sometimes those edges are so jagged, so rough, not only do we not think they fit our lives, we don't want them to touch our lives. But just maybe, if you can see that God cares about you, and your perspective can hold long enough for him to bring you to the other side of the circumstance. In this case, for the children of Israel, was the Red Sea. We know the story, the Red Sea parted. But the parting of the Red Sea was not the end of their story. It was the start. It was the start. And the fight they had in the desert was a fight with their perspective. And that's the fight you're having right now. How you see it. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. Fear thrives. It succeeds on seeing. So I have to hear my history so that I can embrace the destiny that God has for my life. I don't have to be afraid of my history. I can tell my story, and I can tell the truth, and it will inform my destiny. I pray today that you can have a fresh perspective on where you are. Because that's how you prepare for Exodus. When you come to the other side, when God does miracle after miracle, when you get to the promise, the miracles stop. The manna ceases. Because promise requires perspective to know what is happening, to know where you're headed, to know a different part of the story. And to know a different part of the story, you have to keep going. It's not over. It's not the end. I know it looks horrible right now, but I came to tell you, prepare for Exodus. Prophesy your part. Praise God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he is about to do. And you'll maintain a fresh perspective. And you'll never feel disillusioned or disenfranchised because of displacement. Because your perspective will say, this is my assignment, not my punishment. I was sent here, not stuck here. Your perspective is everything. And I pray for a fresh perspective over your relationships, your relationship with God, your relationship with others, a fresh perspective in your work, on your job, a fresh perspective in your physical body, a fresh perspective in your spirit, a fresh perspective. And you take that perspective and you keep going. You keep searching. And you keep prophesying your part. And the plans of God begin to manifest in your life. This is my prayer for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray this word touched you. I pray it blessed your life. I pray it brought you to a place of fresh perspective. Prepare for Exodus, because you're already out before you even come out. Start preparing your heart and your mind for the things you want to accomplish and what you want to do. Another way of saying it is behave your way into your future. You don't have to fake it. You can just behave like it. It's not here yet, not as though I have obtained, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, because I'm trying to apprehend what has apprehended me. Grab hold, seize your future by understanding your history and the story that you're going to tell the world, yourself. It's the link between your history and your destiny. There's power in your story. And if you try to avoid the nasty and the ugly parts, then your story won't have power. It'll just be the same old, same old. What gives your story power is the truth that is embedded in it, that there was some displacement, there was some dislocation, there was some disenfranchisement that led to you feeling disillusioned, that led to you feeling deceived, that led to you feeling disorganized. But it also led to discovery. And what you discovered more than anything is the history of God. And when you looked at the history of God, his history, his story trumped everything in your story. Because in his story, you found yourself. Because we are embedded in his story. That's why we have his predestined. His predestination. That's why we have it. So I pray this word touched your life. I pray it helped you. I pray it healed you. I pray it brought you correction and direction. And if this ministry has continued to be a blessing to you, will you consider continuing to be a blessing to us? There's so many people in great need, and we want to do our part, the part that we're able to do, and continue to help those in the time of need. Every gift you give to this ministry is helping to do that. And so if you would like to sow into us, you can do so right now. Take out your phone and text GiveKLC to 73256, or you can go online to www.thekingdomlife.com, click on the giving icon. If you've downloaded our app, the Kingdom Life Church app, available on iTunes and Google, you can also give on that platform. However you choose to do it, on whatever device or whatever way, just do it as unto the Lord. And we believe, when we stand in agreement with you, he'll give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men shall find you and give back to your pocket. Thank you again, and I pray this word touched your life. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. I pray that he surrounds you with his favor like a shield, and that his angels encamp themselves round about you, and his precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, God bless you, and I'll see you soon.